start the recording. Are you going to do it as well, just as a backup, since I don't know what I'm doing?
I am.
Okay, good.
All right. So the meeting was called to order at 6:03?
Meeting is called to order at 6:03 of the Ruby Star Airpark Property Owners Association. Present, we have myself, Wendy Magris, Ken Spaulding, Jerry Hain, John Thompson. Ted Stanley is on the phone. Do we have anybody else on the phone? Okay, we have a quorum. Pete Stogstill and Glenn Ballard are not here, and I'll have some more information on that in a minute. Okay, are there any comments from guest association members? This is the 3-minute open forum. Go ahead, Dick.
So, let's see. I could have looked more carefully. Did you distribute an agenda for today's meeting?
Yes, John Thompson did.
Okay, if it accompanied the instructions for the telephone, I didn't find it included, but maybe it came separately.
No, it came previously several days ago. Yeah, what's your question, Ted?
Okay. And then, my only other comment is that it would be nice if somehow meetings could be held earlier in the day. It's 9 p.m. where I am.
That's a really good point. We'll discuss that here. We'll discuss it during new business and see if we can find another time.
Since we're all retired.
Since, yeah.
Now that we're
pretty
all
much, yeah.
That works for me.
That's a good comment, Ted. Thank you. All right. Anything else?
Okay.
All right. We'll go ahead and get started then. Go ahead.
No. I'll just try to listen up and behave myself.
Okay. Go ahead on mute then. Thanks. The next item on the agenda is the review and approval of the February 21st board minutes. Those were all distributed by email. Various comments were applied and it was redistributed. Are there any further comments on the minutes? Okay, I move to approve the minutes as distributed by John, via email.
I'll second.
Any further comments?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, Treasurer's Report, which is mainly John, with help from Jerry. And I have some receipts and so on to give you, John, as well, after you're done.
Very good. These are the February financial statements. As of February 28, 2017, we had just under $32,000 of operating funds and around $14,500 of reserve funds.
Who came in?
Barry did.
Okay.
Hey, Barry. Ted Stanley's on. We've got, we're in process, so we're going to keep going here. Request that you keep on mute. We're going to ask that everyone on the phone allow the board members to have discussion on each topic on the agenda. And at the end of each topic, we'll ask for comments from anybody on the phone. And then you can provide any insights that you might have. Okay? All right, we'll keep going then.
Okay, so this is John Thompson from Adam. I'm going over the February financial statements. As of February 28, 2017, we had just under $32,000 in operating funds, right around $14,500 in reserves. As far as operations for the year, we are just $1,300 ahead of what we budgeted. Overall, almost all of that is related to timing, related to air park expenses, landscaping, gate maintenance, fuel, labor, and parts and tires. We haven't incurred any expenses yet, but we anticipate that that will catch up as the year progresses. So basically, we're right on budget. In the last board meeting, I promised the board that I would give some gentle suggestions on perhaps moving some money from the operating fund to the reserve fund. Right now, like I said, we had just over $31,500 in the operating fund. Typically in the operating fund, what I recommend for associations to do that are on a quarterly assessment basis is to keep at least 3 months of expenses in the operating fund for contingencies. That equates to approximately $16,000. If we round that up to around $20,000, my humble recommendation would be to move $12,000 from the operating fund to reserve fund to bolster the reserves.
How much is in reserves right now?
$14,606 as of February 28th.
So Ken and I have been working the landscaping and roads. I don't think we're going to need that much money that quickly. My gut is saying about $10,000 in the operating, because we've paid the insurance. The thing that's coming up is the property taxes in July. So there'll be another set of dues coming in before that.
So you were thinking to take the operating fund down to $10,000?
Maybe 10, 15, I don't know.
If you take it down in half, that puts it at 15. And 15 into, what do you got, 14, that gets you 29.
It's easier to move from operating to reserves than reserves to operating.
Okay. So we're not going to have any trouble moving it back, though, if it's not a capital expense?
If it's not a capital expense, it's an unanticipated operating type expense that's not a major repair, then you can move it back. It's just a little more dysfunctional moving it from reserves to operating than it is from operating to reserves.
Okay, I would rather move less than more.
Right, you want to keep a prudent amount in the operating account.
Okay.
I think $16,000, which is approximately 3 months of expenses, is a prudent amount.
Okay.
So somewhere between $10,000 and $15,000 of moving from the operating to the reserve account.
You're still kind of thinking about it, huh, Ken?
10?
Yeah. Let's
move
be 10. Conservative.
And the reason I don't have a feel, for what these roads and the runway especially is going to cost us. I don't have a handle on it yet. We don't have a bid in yet.
Sure.
Supplementary bids.
Although that might be, the cracks might be capital as opposed to
major repairs.
Major repairs, would that be like preventative maintenance or?
No, routine maintenance.
Routine maintenance.
There's a big difference between filling cracks and repairing cracks. So if you have degradation of the airstrip that requires repaving, that's typically a reserve fund expense. If it's just maintaining your annual maintenance that you do on the airstrip, then it's operating. So basically what you want to see is, okay, what do we budget for the airstrip? What we were anticipating to do in the operating budget for the airstrip? And what's above and beyond that?
We had very little in
we
there
didn't
this
put
year.
Enough. We didn't put a lot in, and I had raised that issue. I said, we got things coming up. Mm-hmm. I talked about this last year,
That's not improper. Okay. Again, almost anything you do to the airstrip is a major repair because that is, you know, the major asset of the association. You know, weeding around it, you know, perhaps putting
that's
a riprap around
that.
It, yeah. That's typically maintenance.
That would be maintenance. But I'm concerned about the cracking. I'm concerned about the erosion on the sides. We just don't have a significant amount of information yet.
So let's be conservative like we were saying.
Yeah.
So move 10,000.
10.
Okay.
I'm good.
We don't have to put on that, do we?
You should.
We should? Okay.
May I have a motion to move $10,000 from the reserve
fund? I have a motion
to
move $10,000 from the operating fund to the reserve fund.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Good.
Motion carries.
So we should see.
And we can always move more later.
Yeah.
Every board meeting we can reassess what's in the reserves and determine whether it's adequate to move.
I think we should do that.
If we go back to that sheet,
yeah.
We go back to that sheet, then I would see 13, 14. Where is the reserve?
What page are you on?
Page we are. Where's the second? First page. No. Sorry. I'm looking for that reserve.
If you take a look in your balance sheet, which is the third page in, it looks like this.
Yeah, got it.
Got it. And I'm looking.
So right now we have in the reserves 14,600. We're anticipating that will grow to 24,600.
All right, so we're a little bit under 25 grand. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And the Huey loan comes out of the reserves, is what we
it does.
Decided to do, right?
And that's going to come out next September, October?
It's September.
September, I believe.
So that's we have about, to have 15,000 there.
15-ish?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Any other comments on the treasurer's report?
Good.
I think it's looking really good, actually.
Making progress.
Yeah. It's so much more cleaned up. I'm happy. Okay.
Comment?
Oh. Does anyone on the phone have any comments?
Somebody else just
does somebody
in.
Want to talk?
Who just came in?
It's Ted. I'm just from a technical standpoint, is Barry on the phone?
He is.
Yeah, Ted. Ted, can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Okay, I wasn't sure if I could hear you or not. That's the only thing I wanted
Ted,
to
can you hear me?
Clear up. Yes, I can.
Ted, they were supposed to use video conferencing so that we could see what was on the PC and we could use VoIP. Instead, they used phone conferencing. So those of us that use anything like Vonage, we have to use our cell phones. Maybe next time we could use VoIP. Which is what I did
no.
the last three times.
We are using phone conferencing. We don't have anything on a PC. We are using paper. There's no reason to record our faces while we're doing this, just our voices.
Thank you.
Did somebody else just join the call? Okay, so...
can you tell if there's a third person in?
So, it's Ted. Just to clarify, I can hear Barry, but I'm not sure if Barry can hear me, but other
yes,
than that.
He can hear you.
And I can hear everybody else present in the room.
Okay, very good. Are there any other comments on the phone?
Okay.
Thank you. Pete just joined us. All right. I move to approve the treasurer's report as presented.
I second it.
Any further comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. There are a couple of other things I'd like to do during this part of the meeting. I have... So, John, you should have received some emails from Carl about backhoe usage that needs to be paid. And I know there was some confusion on the DeFazio's part that we'll talk more about later. But are you clear on what needs to be billed for that?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Because my understanding is he ended up not being able to find, perhaps, the receipts for the fuel that he bought. So, anyways, okay. Then, there's another little problem. Carl used the credit card a couple of days ago to buy fuel for the backhoe. And unfortunately, the way the gas station was set up, he had to put in $90, and then he only ended up using $87 worth of fuel. And we got $3 back.
Okay.
How do we handle that?
Just give me everything, and I'll work it out.
Okay. Thank you.
What
there's
we
also
do is,
a receipt there for, he went to Walmart to get grease for the backhoe.
Yeah, this $3 goes into Bill's pocket, and Adam writes a check to Ruby Star.
Okay.
$3, so that's how it works in our systems.
Thank you. I wasn't sure how much trouble that was going to cause.
The bill owes me $3 of lunch.
Carl's own credit card?
No,
the association.
The association credit card.
And we have two or one?
I only have one. We could get another card if we wanted. Typically in the past, we've had two, and the treasurer had it.
I knew that was going to happen.
but what I have, I just have it and I give it to, you know, if you need to go get fuel for one of the for equipment or whatever, that's what I've been doing.
I think two would be good. That way, if you're gone.
Oh, yeah, well, I could leave it with someone, too. Okay.
Okay, I'll take a second.
Okay, so I will get another credit card and we'll put it in the treasurer's name, which is Jerry.
Does it have to be in Jerry's name?
Unfortunately, it does.
Okay, so if he gets hit by a bear truck, we have to just...
We still have the first credit card.
Yeah.
They can order another one.
Yeah. But it does mean that you have to go down to the bank, which is down here.
I'll be living here soon.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. I think that's the end of the treasurer's report. All right. Old business. And just for everyone's knowledge, I have a list of four additional things on new business that didn't make it onto the agenda, which means we won't be able to vote on it until next time, is my understanding. We'll get there. We'll see what those issues are. But I just want to make sure we have plenty of time to go through four additional things in new business. CCNRs. Jared, I'm putting you on the spot, but would you like to give a summary and I'll jump in and Barry and Ted can jump in too at the end?
Okay, so the CCNR update is actually going pretty well. What we're doing is doing the must-have updates in the main document, and the items that we want to change that might be controversial, we're pulling those out and going to have everyone vote on them separately from the main document. So if they are approved with the main document, then all those changes are good. When they look at other individual changes to that main document, if most people like it the way it is, then we don't make the change. If most people want to make the change, then we go ahead and incorporate that into the main document before we take it down.
And let me update, most people is two-thirds.
Right.
It has to pass by a two-thirds majority.
The question, the supplemental items, is it one or all?
No.
It's
each item...
Each item carries their own weight.
Its own.
Each item carries their own weight.
Yes. So, what we're trying to do is make sure that we get this passed. So, if the main document passes, if everybody's happy with the main document, and they like two out of the four changes, then we take those two that the two-thirds approved, incorporate those into that document,
okay,
and then it would be sent out with the changes that were approved.
Got it.
That would be recorded.
Yeah, that would be what would be recorded.
Can you refresh my memory? Is this a CCNR committee that's overseeing
this?
Yes.
Barry, can you help me out? Who all is on that committee? It's Wendy, myself, Barry, Holly, Alan.
Ted. Ron Alabria.
Ron, okay. And I can't remember if there's anybody yet. Barry, is that it? Barry, are you still with us? Okay, I'm going to...
Barry, are you on mute?
Ted's here.
Oh, okay, Ted. Did I get all the names listed?
I believe you did, but I'm not 100% sure. But
so I have Wendy, Barry, Holly, Jerry, Ron, and Ted.
Alan and Teresa Williams.
Yeah.
Did you get Ron Alabria?
Yeah,
yes.
I believe that's correct.
Okay. And who was managing the document control?
I am.
Okay.
And another question. How does the board approve this prior to going out for membership approval? Is it the same way?
So we haven't finalized exactly the process, but here's what's in my head. The committee comes up with something that they can stand behind, and we want to be able to be unanimous to go before the property owners and say, we recommend approval of the base document, and here are some supplemental items, right?
Yes.
We take that, we need to go through the lawyer, but before we go to the lawyer, I want to make sure that the board looks at it.
Yes.
So and it would come to the board, then the lawyer.
The individual pieces.
And then the next step would be to send it out via email and get comments back to all the property owners. And then when we do that, then we do the official send out of the vote.
I understand the committee makes their 100% unanimous recommendation to...
But that doesn't have to be it. That's why we're going to send it out to everyone for their comments before we actually send it out for a vote. That way everyone can comment on it. We're just trying to get it cleaned up to the point where people can see it and understand the changes and what we're really after.
Understand.
And then if they come back with things that our small group didn't think of or other people want changed, then we can incorporate those into when we go to vote on it, instead of just having like four changes, if when we put it out to comments to everybody, there's four other changes people want, we can put those in there and see if that's what everybody wants.
Okay, ma'am. And I think I'm not trying to be difficult, but I think I'm missing something. I'm missing where the board approves this from going out to the membership. Is the board being bypassed?
No. Once we've got it hammered out, then the board is going to look at it and approve it to be sent out for comments to
the lawyer.
To the lawyer.
I don't want to spend time on the lawyer until the board has looked at it and
right.
is comfortable with it.
Okay.
And if the lawyer's happy with it, then we put it out to all the people in the association for them to comment on.
So it sounds like it's a three-step process before it gets voted on.
Yes.
It's the committee, the board,
the lawyer,
the attorney,
the property owners.
And then the board.
And then a final vote, so it's five steps.
Yep.
But when it gets emailed to the members, there could be additional comments that have to go back through the whole
system. Yeah.
Right.
This process is going to be based on a five-step process, and it could be a multiple five-step process.
Yes.
Does everybody realize that?
Oh, yeah. It's the only way that everyone... Everyone is going to be happy, but everybody is going to be informed. And everyone can make their voice heard. And if we have enough people, if we have, 40 changes that are individual because somebody wants one thing worded a particular way, what we'll end up with is having to cut it down by the board to what we think is going to be reasonable to get changed in the document.
There's got to be some authority to keep on moving.
Yeah.
Yes. And if the
board
is
going to have that authority,
we're
going
to have to just
right.
say, let's move.
And yes. that's why the board's in there. I'm thinking it's only going to go through the whole thing twice max. That's it. We're not going to take any more than
I
twice
wouldn't go through the whole thing twice.
Go ahead and write it.
Okay.
We will probably go through it once.
Yes.
But max is twice.
Yeah.
What?
Yes?
Wendy, it's Ted. Can I make a comment?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I mean, everything that was just said in the last couple of minutes there certainly makes a lot of sense. I think that the important thing is to, you know, sort of plan a process, and then, you know, after it goes through one of the loops, you know, you may have to just see what happens. And, you know, we'll all see what happens.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
And we may have to, you know, alter our procedure from what was originally envisioned in order to get to the end goal.
Right, and that's why I'm saying it's only going to go around the track twice, because if it goes any more than that, we'll never get it done again. I'd like to get it done, even if we have to just vote on the main document and not do any of the individual controversial things, just so we can get
right
legal. We have to do that.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. But I think in the long run, if there's limited success on the first go, then there's got to be some assurance to those who don't feel that they're being addressed that at a subsequent time, you know, that the issues will be hashed out in some other.
It's a living document, so we're always going to be talking about what is on there and what people want changed.
And we have to be reasonable, too, in understanding that it's very hard to get 65 different people to agree on anything. So we probably won't get everybody perfectly happy.
That's
impossible.
I think
we can make most of the people happy.
Yeah, we can get most of the people happy, and that's the goal. Not to get everyone happy, just most.
66.
And if I'm one of the ones that's unhappy, that's okay. I don't mind.
As long as we're done.
Yes, as long as it's done, I'll be very happy with that part. Yeah, it just needs to be legal. Okay, so I think that's it for CCNR update. You've already commented. Was there anybody else on the phone that wanted to comment?
Okay, we're going to move on to road maintenance then.
Road maintenance. Ken here. Wendy and I met with GMO Asphalt, who had done road repairs for us last year, to try to get different ideas on the runway, erosion control along the edges, and also cracking that is in the asphalt in different locations. And also, as an additional item, riprap being applied at Ruby Air Park Drive and Lost Emerald, and also on Lost Emerald between Bonanza Gold and Copper Cave. We have not got any the bids back from GMO Asphalt yet, but on the edging of the concrete or concrete edging for the runway, we got a different type of an installation from GMO Asphalt that may be more cost effective. We're not sure until obviously we see the final bid. The other two areas, the cracking, will be bid on as a separate item, and the areas of riprap will also be bid as a separate item. We also inquired about a more or less labor to apply the spraying herbicide on the sides of the taxiways, sides of the runway, and also the other roads throughout the airpark. We have not got that bid yet. We would supply the equipment. We're basically looking for a a driver applicator type individual, and we seem to have a line on one through the son of Guillermo, who heads up GMO Asphalt. Nothing yet has come in, so we're still on hold on that area.
I'd like to make a couple comments on that. They shouldn't be too close.
Those are extras.
Satellites.
I ordered the pre-emergent herbicides, and it's sitting in my hangar. I need to get the recipe that we used last time, Pete.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was.
No, but Luke, there were manuals and some other things. I'm hoping he has a bag somewhere that has sprayer stuff.
So I put them someplace.
Yes, I need that badly because there's stuff I need to order in order to do this. And as you can see throughout the airport, we're really getting the growth right now. So we need to find that. Also, we were supposed to get some new nozzles last year, and I don't know if those were purchased.
I think Ken bought those.
I got
the ones that have the higher flow rate.
I got them, and he sent me a check for them last year.
So you have them personally, or
it's with the instructions.
And okay, so I need wherever that.
Yeah,
if we need more, Tractor Supply has got them.
Yeah. Okay, so I think I read the instructions more on the pre-emerge, and I'm thinking we go ahead and put the glyphosate with it at the same time, because that'll just kill everything.
Gotta get a little rain.
Well, so I read it again, and it's ambiguous. It's in the section of when you're going to put paving on top of the dirt and you want it to kill everything. That's when you really need the rain. But the way that with these new nozzles, because we're spraying more water with the stuff, I don't know, Mike is thinking
that the key is the water.
Yes.
I got that information from the people that sell the sprayers up in Scottsdale. They say the way that the farmers and the ranchers do it when they put down the pre-emergence and all that, knowing there's not a lot of rain, they use a lot more
water. And that's why we wanted those nozzles.
That works. They said that works well in this area.
So I'm thinking, the cost is really going to be the labor. And so to get it all done, to really stomp out the weeds and not have to mow and all that other stuff, I think we should go ahead and do it.
Do we have an hourly figure in our heads of what we want to pay?
Well, we were paying $20 an hour. I don't know that that's going to happen.
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, but like we can hope.
How many hours do you think it'll take?
I forgot, but Luke got it done with like a day and a half or something.
It's
like
3 days.
3 days?
Yeah, okay, that's what he told me.
I know that one of the things that he was a little worried about too is that he was not feeling well for about a week after he did that too. That's why I kept saying, if we get somebody else to do that, are they going to be...
Was he wearing the mask?
Yeah, he had that respirator on during that 90 degree temperature as he was spraying it too.
It's too hot.
It was not a fun job.
No,
it wasn't. But he was still... He was afraid of the stuff.
Oh, that's not good.
So that's why I kept asking, if we got somebody else to do that, do we have to have some sort of, do they have to have some sort of insurance or protection?
I'd like to talk to him about what could be done differently.
Could it be that there's
too, Chris was doing
there's
it,
too
he didn't
much
feel
going
anything.
Down?
Well,
in fogging.
What was happening is that, he was driving slow. And there was a breeze, it was blowing it over him.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do this when there's a breeze at all.
Yeah, so, and he trying to get it done, and the dust devils are coming through there.
Oh, yeah,
You can't just say, well, there's no breeze, let's go, and then bam, you get a dust devil, because it was 90-plus degrees when he was doing it. And so he had lots of airflow.
The other thing that Mike was telling me is that was another reason to get the nozzles with more water, because if you're doing it at high pressure, it aerates more, and
it'd be
that's a problem.
Put, thicker stream down. But he was not looking forward to doing it again. He was very happy when I just ran out of time.
Yeah.
We're right in the middle of annual season.
Got to do it soon because we just had the winter rains and it's popping up real quick.
If GMO is not able to do it, I'm not sure what we do because this isn't the sort of thing you can just have.
If it's 3 days worth of work. I'll come down and do it for $20 an hour. It's more than I'm making on this engagement.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'll come down.
Wendy instead.
Uh huh.
And I'll be covered by insurance too, so your insurance policy covers me.
Deal.
Why would we even go to GMO if you do it for?
I'll do it for 20 an hour. Come down, and I'll have to do it on the weekend.
What, uh-huh. Wendy? It's.
Yeah, go ahead, Ted.
Could I just simply suggest that, you know, whatever the chemical is that's being put down, that you, get the material safety data sheet or contact the manufacturer and make a determination as to what the proper protective gear is required. Because it's variable. I mean, a mask there's a variety of different types of masks and filters and whatnot, and none of those may suffice. It may have to be a source of fresh air or something totally that you don't quite envision.
I know a guy that has all the equipment for that stuff. So
Ted, I did that the first time we did this, and I've been giving the SPD to each of the operators every time and going through the safety section with them. So, so we have to just reinforce that you don't go out when it's windy or stop if it is, and these nozzle things should help a bit, but whoever's doing it needs to be aware that we can't have the stuff spewing out, dispersing in an unwanted manner.
Yeah, it has to go down. It can't just float around.
Right. Seriously, John?
Yeah. Okay. It's 3 days.
Yeah.
At 75 miles an hour, my car makes more than me.
It's not your car that'll do it, though. We'll have to use
the Ranger again.
I'm just saying, on the freeway, that's,
I'm not in this business for the money. You have to go 3 miles an hour. That's calibrated.
I can do that.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to bring up. I need that bag of stuff so I can do those calculations.
Yeah. Luke handed it to me and I put it in a safe place.
We'll try and get it done next weekend.
Okay. Anything else on road maintenance?
No, I'm good.
Done.
Okay.
Oh, road maintenance. This has nothing to do with maybe the roads, but has anybody thought about changing the color of Ruby Star Airpark metal sign up in the front?
Oh.
Something about that color.
Something brighter. That's a really good idea.
I have been listening to my other half about this for the last year, and I have failed to be bringing it up. I'm just a thought. Just plant the seed
I
around.
I don't have any problem with that.
If my other half has anything to do with it, it'll probably be yellow.
Yellow.
Oh, gosh.
Well, we can put it up for a vote, whatever we want. Yellow, purple, green, I don't know. Turquoise. A nice turquoise color. Anyway, that's my end of my road maintenance.
Okay. I like that idea. We should... Maybe GMO will do it for us.
No, it's not paint. It's not $100 now.
No, he won't charge that. Anyways.
He won't. The sun will.
I think it's a different sun.
Oh.
He said it was his 26-year-old son.
Okay. Well, maybe it is Jeff. It is Jeff.
Yeah. Okay, the next item on the... or anybody on the phone have anything further on road maintenance? Okay, we'll go to Freeport, Macaron. Latest there, we are continuing the fight. We were able to get into Congresswoman McSally's office to speak with her. Well, not with her, with her district director, actually. And we had a very good conversation. And we gave them all the documents, they're evaluating, and it'll be time to poke them in another week or so. Also, I met with the Green Valley Council, and I think that's probably been the best thing of anything, is meeting with the Green Valley people, because they really didn't know what was going on, and, you know, they've had water issues in the past, and they're pretty interested in understanding what the future holds if this continues to expand, because it will mean another tailings pond, which is what polluted their water before. And so they've offered to, well, they're helping me set up a meeting with Steve Christie, the Green Valley Pima County Supervisor, who has some pull with PDEQ and the other county offices. So I'm in talks right now with his Green Valley assistant, Steve Christie's Green Valley assistant, to have a meeting with them and with Steve Christie and the Green Valley people. The Green Valley Council has several subcommittees. One of them is an environmental subcommittee, and they meet once a month on the first Wednesday of the month if anybody's interested in going down there. Beth Gorman goes to it almost every month. Beth Gorman from PDEQ.
Oh, Beth Gorman.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So that's all good. But, you know, we'll see. There's nothing else really new to report. Fran DeFazio went with us to visit with McSally's folks. I think that's it on that. Are there any questions? Any suggestions?
Instead, I have one suggestion, and that is if there's any public meetings like that with the Green Valley people or whatnot, you know, a telephone call in advance of a day or two, let's say, to a newspaper or two to invite them to cover it, that would be helpful, I should think.
Yeah, you know, the Green Valley paper is there all the time. And I should point out that...
Okay.
Yeah. So they're well-published. Green Valley has a lot of residents. And I think this is why it's so cool to get their attention, because at least my understanding is the Pima County Supervisor, Ray Carroll, was pretty much voted in because of Green Valley. And so Steve Christie knows this and should be listening to what they have to say. An interesting thing, April 5th is the next environmental meeting. Freeport is going to give a presentation on the expansion. I would encourage as many of us who can to go there. If you could put that in the minutes, John, although by the time it gets out, it'll be too late. But,
can you repeat that?
That there will be, at the next Green Valley environmental meeting, April 5th, Freeport will be sharing the latest on their expansion.
And include a time and place.
Yes. Maybe it's time for a newsletter. Facilitating mortgages on for sales and construction loans. I have done nothing on that this month. I've been really busy with other stuff. So nothing to report there. The next item is the East Side Gate. This was the gate that the Williams wanted. We did work with Tom Losley to ensure that he was okay with this being put on his property. And we gave the Williams approval to go put it in, and they did. Unfortunately, after that, I remembered that we should have reminded them to check with the state land people to see if they needed to get permission, because there was a rumor going around that state land people had to give permission to give access to their land. So I'm not sure where we want to leave that at this point. Just let it go.
State, I can't see the state, giving us, instructions as to whether or not we can put a fence to exit our property.
They actually did already.
Yeah. So, do they have to go and okay each and every one of these?
Yes.
So we've already got a grandfather approval on the two other
ones. On the two that were there when Nolan put them in, I asked them specifically about those, and he said, well, that's kind of ancient history now, so but going forward, anything new needs to be requested. Hmm. So unfortunately, I slipped that in my head. And
my humble thoughts are to ask for forgiveness rather than ask for permission.
Yeah. So actually let them know that it's happened, and, or just let it lie.
Ask for forgiveness if they had taken an exception, if they ever... Okay.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. And it's locked right now, so there's really no access currently.
So the gate's constructed?
Yeah, but it's got a padlock on it. It doesn't have a combination lock, which is something... maybe that's the thing. Before we put the combination lock so that people can access, we need to get that permission.
Did we get official writing from Mr. Lonesley?
Yes.
Okay. And John's got it?
John's got it. You put it in the file somewhere?
Yes.
Okay. Anything further on the gate?
Just trying to make sure we get all our I's dotted.
Okay, next item is the website. So, Jerry, John, you want to tell us what you got to here?
Okay, so we went ahead and posted all the minutes for 2016 on the website.
You found the numbers on
the website? And the draft minutes for the annual meeting. That's all posted. There's nothing posted in 2017 yet. We had a little training session on how to use the website.
Okay.
And once I figured it out, then I trained him.
So by the end of the week, it'll be fully updated.
Great. So the recordings are going up on the website as well.
Yes.
From each of the meetings. Good. Thank you.
Anything else?
How's the security of the website?
Oh, did you put a counter?
Is there
is there a visit counter for the use for the for the owners only section? It'd be interesting to know how often it gets visited. You're gonna figure it out now, huh? Okay. Jerry, should I move on?
Yes, go ahead and move on.
Okay. the next item is owner participation improvement. So we've tried to do a few things to help out with people joining in. We did, Jerry got a nice speaker system put into his hangar here so that we can have better voice reception. Also, we put out the conference call number. It sounds like Barry would rather have a voice over IP. We'll have to consider that. I'm not sure. We don't typically put anything on data here, so I'm not sure what we would do there, but we can think about that.
Right. I mean, there's all we'd be recording is us looking at paper, because we're not using a website to do anything with at our meetings.
Well, so Barry's point was we could, right?
We could, but we haven't.
It's a bit of work to do it.
Yeah. I personally, I don't see a reason for having basically a WebEx session so people could see what's on somebody's computer, because we're not looking at stuff on the computer. We're looking at it printed.
Yeah, we're right. Just mainly looking at the agenda.
Yeah.
And the treasurer's report, and that's about it.
And it's not appropriate to present members with financials or draft minutes until ratified by the board. So there's not really a whole lot we put up. The agenda is distributed to the association members, and you know, it's typically that what's provided in association meetings is a sign-in sheet, and then when they sign in, they get an agenda.
Okay, thank you.
What did you put in the hanger, Jerry?
No, all I did was I bought this phone. That's it.
I've used.
And it's got sat. I just added the satellite just because it had.
Used them around the world. They work great.
Yeah, they
work. I mean, that's why I hope Ted's able to see us all.
It's
right.
A speaker phone. And there's no reason to do any more
not
than this because
more.
The problem we had was people were calling into individual phones.
Sure.
We solved that by using conferencecalling.com or free conference call, whatever. And then we could use just a cell phone, but its mic doesn't pick up very well around the room, and it's a little crackly, and you're limited by how much power the speakers put out. So with this, I'm just plugged into it. I'm still using the cell phone. It's just a speaker and extra mics
right.
that make it much clearer for everyone else to hear, and we can hear them very clearly now.
Yes.
I could hear Ted great. I mean, it's just...
Right.
Hopefully it would be the same if there was multiple people on.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
And I've used these
yeah.
in conference rooms all over the place. So there's...
Yeah. Jerry, have you been reimbursed for this yet?
No, I bought this for my business.
Okay.
And I'm allowing the association to use my equipment when we have meetings. I mean, all I have to do, unplug that, hand it to somebody... They have an iPhone, they plug into this one. If they have a different phone, they plug into that one.
Very good.
That's it. And then you make the call on your phone just like you normally do, and it just works.
Okay. Well, we sure appreciate it, Jim.
No, no problem.
Thank you.
So, and this will use, if you've got a wired phone for some reason.
Landline?
Landline. Yeah. It'll do
sure.
landline, then you can just use that
and
as a normal phone.
Pad.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, are there any other comments on participation improvement? Okay, we'll move on to the next items. The next two items I asked John to just put on hold because I know we haven't had time to really work them until the CCNRs get done.
The
maintenance.
We don't have time to look at it.
The spraying has to get done quickly, and until that gets done, I just don't see having time. Okay, let's go to new business. We got the property tax valuations this last week, and this is something I've been thinking about the last couple of years, is we've never appealed the valuations, and they went up like 10% again this year. So I definitely think we need to appeal them. The deadline is April 25th to do the appeal, and we have something like 10 properties or 12 properties. It's not just the lots. It's each sliver of land
mm-hmm.
that's common area has its own lot number, so we have to do all of them. Mike is currently doing our appeal, so I thought I at least for the lots that should be fairly easy to do, and I can go ahead and do that. The other ones I don't know how hard that's going to be, so I may punt on them if I don't have time, or I'll ask one of you guys to help with the other ones.
We did.
You don't know how to do that?
No, I need to ask somebody.
If you haven't done it, you should do it,
yes.
by the way.
Lyon.
Yeah.
Ran that whole thing forward.
Yeah, Mike
did. 5 years
for
ago,
him.
6 years ago, 5 years, 6 years ago, and we used a lot of that information.
It needs
I think
to
between
be
Mike, between Mike, between Glenn.
You have to get recent comps, and so that's
right.
what Mike is doing right now for ourselves.
Does, not to belabor the thing,
uh-huh.
but Jerry, myself, and Mike met the tax assessors, or the tax, the taxes, with the, they were part of the, I thought the assessor's office that was out here, and we gave them the overview of what is going on with the mines.
Yeah, but I don't remember.
Just bring that up to Mike.
Well, I'm just going to copy whatever he does.
Okay.
Because
well, I mean,
that's
I mean,
why
if,
he did it. Right?
What my point is
yeah.
is that being taken into consideration
yes.
in the dialogue
oh,
that's
yeah.
going into the going into
Absolutely. Phoenix. That's the whole point.
Okay.
Is that with the things going on, values are not going up like in other areas, they're going down.
And they're aware of this in Tucson because we told them.
Yeah.
I mean, folks, this is what's happening.
Right. So anyways, so at least for the lots, I can do that. For the common, here's another little glitch too. The common area parcels, my understanding, and I haven't done the research on this, is that they aren't officially common designated as common area. Common area gets a different tax rate, apparently. And I don't know if this is something you know about, John. But this was on a list of to-dos for board members 8 years ago, and it got dropped along the way, and I just found out about it this last year. So it would be handy to change the designation of these lots from whatever CR1 or whatever it is to common area, whatever that means. But that's going to take some research.
It also helps to combine anything that's adjacent to one.
Yeah.
Does that allow the development and building of hangars on the common area?
Yeah.
Common area. Does it have to be called common area?
Oh, I don't know.
It's just a characterization.
For tax purposes.
For property tax purposes.
Okay.
If you have any information on that, John, do you think you could scrounge that up?
It sounds like this is sophisticated enough where you really want to have a professional do it that's been there, done that, rather than copying and pasting based on your own.
For the common area, the lots themselves, the POA lots, that's just like...
That they are what they are.
Yeah.
But the common area is it...
I wonder if the tax, the person who does our taxes...
Yeah, I'll check into the person who does our taxes and another individual I know to see who he uses. I know another property manager that is versed in this.
Okay. Any other comments on property tax appeal? On the phone?
Wendy, is Ted. Seems to me that back when Glenn Lyon did the work that he did, part of his strategy was to, act on behalf of the of everyone in the air park to lower the tax rate, in return for which, everybody would agree to, pay higher association dues. Is that something that's still being done?
We have no plans to raise any association dues. But yes, I remember that happening back then because the dues were very low and they weren't enough to support the airport. And so the idea then was that if we can lower the property taxes for everybody, there's some money there available to pay for dues. And that's what happened way back when.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So I think that every property owner would be beholden to the association, if the work was collectively done to lower everybody's taxes.
Yeah, that's true. So I think what I could do is once we have that data collected, we could post it to the website or send it out or something.
Are you suggesting? Ted, this is Ken. Are you suggesting that there's one individual that would represent the HOA that would take everybody's tax appeals like Glenn Lyon did and do that again? Is that what you're alluding to?
Yes. I mean, I think that would be it would demonstrate value to all of the members of the HOA, the value of the work being done by the the board and the association and Adam or whoever picks up the balls to do that. I think that's pretty valuable.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
In other words, look what we did for look what we did for you kind of thing, if you...
Yeah, I understand, it. And I know that was sort of back when I was on the board when that occurred, and I know Glenn's point was that, you know, as an exchange, basically, for the increase, actually, it was the... For the dues, it was the equalization of the dues, number one, and then raising the dues up to where they're at right now. But he demonstrated that with a savings, with a tax savings, it more than put money back into the property owner's pocket and still be able to help the HOA survive with a higher dues rate.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Right. I mean, it was, you know, it was a win-win deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think that I could commit myself to go represent everybody, but I will... put together the information so that everybody would have a template.
So
that they can go and represent themselves.
A template would be great.
Because that's the work, is getting all those comps and everything else put into a package.
Yeah, if I knew how to do it myself, I would be more than happy to do it. In fact, I was thinking about I'm going to have to learn how to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to learn fast, too.
Yeah, because we got till April 25th.
Clock is ticking.
Okay, good thoughts. I've made a note to myself to make that data available. Okay, now we're on to the items. Yeah? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, make it available and then kind of wave the flag and say, you know, here it is, come and get it.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I'm done.
Thanks.
Thank you, Tim.
Okay, going on, I have four other items in new business. I'm going to read... Uh-oh, I wrote myself a note and I don't know what it means. Backhoe operation... Let me go to the next one first. So Glenn Ballard has officially given his resignation from the board. So we're going to have to consider what we want to do about that, whether we want to appoint someone or whether we're comfortable just going till the next election with four board members. The rules, the bylaws state that we have to have between three and five board of directors. So we can go either way. Just a few comments. When we've done appointments in the past, it always seems like somebody feels, left out or offended or whatever. And so my preference would be to just wait until we have an election. Glenn's position was going to expire this year anyways. So up for discussion? Anybody have comments?
I agree with holding off and letting the members decide on the next person and not just choosing amongst ourselves, because there's enough animosity right now that it probably wouldn't go over well, no matter who we chose.
Right.
If you brought another person on right now anyway, you'd have to bring all the up to speed with your CCNR update, which seems to be the focus of what's going on here. So, you know, that might be counterproductive. I think... You're absolutely right. We should just go ahead and just, you know, continue on the way we've been working and wait till the next election.
I would agree.
Okay. So, John, do we have to do anything official? I mean, we've accepted, I guess we've accepted Glenn's resignation.
No, but it leaves the office of vice president open. And so the board may elect a new vice president either this meeting or next meeting. And reshuffle office positions, because that's solely at the discretion of the board.
Well, there's only one choice.
Yeah. Ken is secretary, Jerry is treasurer, Pete is, at large.
Imagine that.
And honestly, I'm not even sure that we have to have a vice president. I would have to go back and look at the bylaws.
Do we? John?
But it wouldn't hurt. I mean, it's not, you know, Pete, would you buy it?
It's a title. I'm okay.
Okay. Now, don't let it go to your head now. Yeah. Okay.
So, do we want to make a motion?
I move that we have Pete become the vice president of the Ruby Star Air Park Property Owners Association.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
I thought we'd get one, Betty.
I know.
She's not here.
Okay. That's going in a minute.
Another item that's come up in the last month, and there was some email traffic about it, came from my other half, which was that we've been having quite a bit of big trucks that don't realize that it's not a through street up at the end of Lost Silver. And then you get to the you can't go further than here signs. And then they try to back up and they're really kind of messing up the driveway. So that went around. John put out a note as a reminder to folks to remind their contractors and so on. But we were also talking about putting some sign, maybe some, I'm thinking something that says not a through street or something like that, you know, a low sign that could maybe make it more obvious that you can't go any further from there. Because GPS is telling people to go that way. And not sure what else to do about it.
For future construction out here, I mean, this is similar. I was involved with a complex over in Oro Valley many, many years ago, probably a different lifetime. And we did the same thing. It was a very complicated route to get to the construction site. And we actually had a standard set of signage that they, at that point in time, their HOA had approved for us to set out to direct to construction sites. And basically, it was just a little triangle sign, and it was basically there for the duration of that construction process to get people as directly and quickly as possible to the site and avoid going down one-way streets and stuff like that. I'm assuming that eventually in the future here, we're going to probably have more construction going on, and I think that'll be just a normal thing that an owner will take on, assisted by the Air Park, just saying, look, you know, we have signage to get people to and from your place the most expeditiously as possible.
So you're saying the HOA would buy the signs and then hand them out to whoever needs them at the time?
That or just basically, you know, give some guidance to, you know, new owners when they're building as to what type of signage should be there. I mean, you could have a bunch of stand-up cardboard signs with spray paint on them, you know, if we don't do something standardized.
Right.
And that's acceptable, but it looks odd. And I think we could actually do a little bit better there. Uh-huh. You know, even if we just had, you know, if we actually had, you know, some signage, you know, for our purposes, we want something low slung.
Right.
So it doesn't interfere with the aircraft movement stuff. And you know, it's going to, I don't think I want to have the signage in front of my house constantly. But while a construction project is going on for 3 or 4 months, I think it's a worthwhile thing to save wear and tear on the roadway and get people in and out with as little hassle as possible.
It's a terrific idea.
So how do we get there?
quite frankly, you know, we actually had built up little fold-up plywood signs. And basically on the side of it, we would staple, you know, in this case, be like DeFazio's house, you know, that way with this an arrow. Mm-hmm. And
by the way, we're not sure it was DeFazio's construction people.
Well,
we also have this problem with UPS vans and FedEx. Yeah. They are big as well, and they
and for some areas, especially at the end of the road up there where you have the big cutout, you know, we probably need to have a permanent sign there saying you know narrow road or you know dead end or something like that.
That's kind of what I went to first.
Yeah.
And that's something that we could just ask Carl. He's pretty good about just making it happen.
But, yeah, I think we just sort of have some standard signage.
Dead end, no passage.
Well, the corner of my property over here, right where everybody's coming in, I would say we should probably have a first sign there showing an arrow or an arrow to get them to
make the first turn correctly.
Yeah.
We're supposed to go straight
or turn. You have to snag.
And I have no problem with somebody with having a small sign on that corner, especially since there's no aircraft coming up there, so it could actually be even taller if it needed to be. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, for me, on that corner, on my property, no problem.
You can make it a yellow sign too.
Hmm?
Paint the sign yellow.
He's not going to let some of it down now.
Maybe copper.
Okay, so concrete actions. What? I mean, we can have. So we sent something out to Sandy. Somebody asked him to,
I did talk to him.
You did talk to him?
I did talk to him.
So a sign that perhaps says, you know, dead end somewhere.
DeFazio this way.
He said, well, my guys know where they're going.
Like a dead end sign that you typically see?
So that would be one part of this, I think.
For a permanent sign, and then we can make 3 or 4 signs that it has an arrow that can be changed.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sign maker. I use Budget Signs. They do great work at great price. It's a little mom and pop shop.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
I can get if you can give me some sort of parameters on whether you want a triangle, square, how big, how tall, just really rough back of the napkin, I can get this person to
well, for the dead end one, I think we can just get that off the internet. They have those kinds of things.
Yeah, and I can get somebody to install it if Carl's not willing to install it.
Okay.
That's easy enough, because even down here on the end of my road, I have so much truck traffic go down there and turn around in my driveway.
Do you?
And
it's the same thing, right?
Occasionally they end up in the ditch,
and
I have to help pull them out.
Maybe we need 2 dead end.
Well, there's several dead ends in the airpark that are tough for a big truck to turn around.
Yeah, probably sets as well, but he's got more room.
No, if you go past his driveway, you're stuck.
Yeah.
It's straight in and straight out.
What's happening down past me is I've seen them coming down there. They turn around, but the problem is that just like your driveway, that Fred Miller paid for that extension going all the way down, and you get these big trucks dual axles, and they do a big U-turn around there, and it breaks it up. You know, I mean.
Okay, so it sounds like we need a few of these.
Yeah, we're gonna need several extra dead ends. We have several choke points.
Okay, so do we have someone who wants to take it on themselves?
Just a second, Ted.
Go through and see how many dead end signs we really should put out around the airpark. And then I would say we probably should end up with at least 4 directional signs for construction traffic at a minimum. I don't see that we're going to have more than 1 or possibly 2 construction going on at the same time.
I see 4 right now, 4 dead end signs. 4 dead end signs.
Okay. Yeah, and really, I don't want to say dead end. I would rather say
no through traffic.
Yeah, no turnaround or something.
No turnarounds. Yeah, through traffic, no turnarounds.
Yeah, no turnarounds.
So, do we have a volunteer to take care of this? Because I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, I can go. Make a map of what
I
think
would be. Maybe some searching on if there's some cheap signs out there.
Well, he's got the signs. We just have to figure out what we need to do.
He's talking about making them, and I think you can buy ready-made ones. That's what we did for those other signs.
I bought ready-made ones for the Soaring Club before, and they were quite expensive. I don't know.
Really?
You say it's fairly reasonable.
Yeah.
This guy's really reasonable.
It might be cheaper to have them made.
Just make sure they're all together and all that. You know?
I've used them before for signs for business, and they were very.
That's budget
signs.
While
we're on that subject,
they're great people.
Yeah,
they're a real nice guy.
You bring up that subject up so good, Wendy. You know, we're really lacking street signs at the south taxiway and the roads that go into it, and the north taxiway and the roads that go into it.
I agree, because there should be a stop sign right there at the end of the road, and there's not.
Well, and the street names.
Yeah.
It's confusing for... And I recently had this issue. I had to call EMS out to the home, and they're lost. You know, There's nothing to continuation of Ruby Air Park Drive going across that runway, nor Bonanza Gold going across that runway, nor Copper Cave. I don't think, maybe Copper Cave's got one down there.
We need to review all the signage on the airport.
Yeah, I was thinking we just need to have a new signage plan.
Since we're talking signage, I'm gonna throw that out.
That would be great.
Making some suggestions.
Throw that out as a need to, you know.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's
important because
it is.
Because we never change the signs after the runway was redone.
Well, you know, and like the little stop turns and stuff like that, you know, we need to have like a direction sign right there to catch somebody's attention.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it, we never did, it never seems to be a real problem, but
right. You know, it's just nagging with small problems.
And you're putting out a newsletter, and that brings up, since we're throwing that out, throw this one on it too, about people blowing these stop signs.
Oh, yeah.
It's happened, and I've been on my golf cart, and I've, what was that? You know.
Ted, did you have another comment?
Yeah, just one small thing with regard to the trucks going the wrong places. To me, what's most effective is if you have two signs at any particular juncture, you know, one basically says, don't go here, and another sign right next to it, which points in a different direction, and says, go here. So, you know, because if you just tell somebody, you know, don't go here, they kind of go, well, where the hell am I supposed to go?
Yeah. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying.
I'm done.
Okay, thank you. All right, I have one more topic for the open meeting, and that was backhoe operation. So we had an issue this last couple weeks ago where there was basically a misunderstanding, and I'm just going to go ahead and talk about it here, that Sandy DeFazio thought it was okay to operate the backhoe himself. Now, we do have usage rules out on the website pretty clearly stating that's not so, but apparently we have a misunderstanding. So leaving that in the past, it brought up the whole subject of who should be allowed to operate the backhoe. What our current policy says is that the board would vote on any new members who could operate. Currently, Carl and Jay Bennett are considered operators for the backhoe. So Sandy has asked to be an operator. As I started thinking about this, I thought, golly, I don't know anything about backhoe operation, and I do not feel qualified to vote on whether any one person is qualified to do that. And my understanding is that backhoes can be dangerous, and so I'm worried about liability. And so we have a policy to vote on that says how to add new operators. So I want to have that discussion here. And I don't think we can really vote, because I didn't notice we didn't put it in the agenda. And if Sandy wanted to come in and talk about it, we need to give him an opportunity to do that. But I wanted to bring this up for discussion. And that's the topic. We can either talk about it now or we can leave it till the next time.
Wow.
I want to leave it.
I've kind of got, myself, I have pros and cons about the whole subject.
So John's giving me the...
It wasn't on the original agenda, so
it's
best
to take and let it go to the next one.
Yes, put it on the agenda, get it out to the members.
I've got opinions, pros and cons on it myself. Just my own.
Okay, so basically it's just out for us to
think about
the next meeting.
We've got
leave it at that.
One individual, I guess, that has approached you.
Right, Sandy would like to be authorized to operate the...
Who's currently authorized? It's Carl and...
Carl and Jay Bennett.
I have...
And they both... See, the reason they were initially... When this... This was a resolution made by a previous board when started thinking about what to do with the backhoe. Both Carl and Jay, this was like their profession. So everyone felt comfortable about
their professional operators.
They're professional operators. They know what they're doing.
And The automobile policy that we have covers the backhoe. Is there requirements for insurance as far as who can operate?
I'm not sure. I have done no research on this.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's the first thing is find out what insurance coverage we have and what the insurance allows for.
Yeah, what if
I'll check that out.
Okay, and then we'll revisit this at the next meeting.
Yes.
So we need to actually drop it right now.
We'll table it.
But this is
our I'll let the meeting show that we just discussed that to put on the next agenda to cover both insurance and once we know that, methods to approve who can use. Okay?
Okay.
That's all that's on the agenda. Any further discussion on any topics, agenda items for next week, next time? Ted, do you have any comments? You're on mute.
Sorry, I had to unmute there. As just one quick thing. So as far as the sort of subcommittee of which I am a member working on the CCNRs, is anybody the chair of that?
Well, I think nominally I thought I was the chair, but I think Jerry's probably the better chair. I think you have to have a board member. Correct me if I'm wrong, John, but I think subcommittees have to be chaired by a board member.
They need not, but it's most associations do. The only time it has to have a board member is if it's required under the CCNRs.
And I don't know.
We've never had that. CCNRs don't require CCNR committee, so
there's no
rule for it. It's always a good idea to have a board member chair.
So I'm doing the board member chair since I'm the one that's actually making all the changes and getting it back out to everyone. So I just kind of took that on myself.
And I've been putting out things about what should be our process, but
right.
I would be happy to hand that over to Jerry.
And I've been trying to facilitate keeping the CCNR meetings on track and moving forward without too many disagreements.
I bet that's a challenge.
No, not too bad.
No.
Seriously, it's been... you can comment on this, but I think it's been fairly civil and fairly straightforward with moving things forward. Some people get a little bit not excited, but loud about some of their opinions, but that's part of it. I mean, that's how we know when we've hit something that's a little controversial and we need to bring it out as a separate item.
And honestly, I think there's been only a couple of items that have drawn that.
Yeah, we've only got like four. I can turn around and look at my computer and tell you if you really want me to.
Okay. If there's no further comments, are there further comments?
No. Okay.
Because we need to adjourn and go to a closed session so that we can discuss some financial matters. So I will move to adjourn this meeting of the Movie Star AirPod PLA.
And the vice president should be on to second this.
I'm officially vice president.
Yes, we voted.
I thought it had to have the next term.
No.
Are you going to second?
I guess I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. This meeting, open portion of this meeting is adjourned. It is 7:27 p.m. Thank you, Ted, for joining us.
Okay, well, I hope I can join you at an earlier hour the next time around.
Yes, we'll definitely look into that. We'll send an email to coordinate amongst the board members to make sure everybody's schedules work.
Yeah, I've been in South Carolina and attending meetings, so I understand.
All right.
Okay.
See you. Sleep well.
Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great evening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Have a good day.
Okay, so now I turn off the record.
Everybody got the recording off?
Okay, I have officially hung up.